The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Boker Tov. Yes, it's been an interesting week, Howard, but in spite of all the chaos, we finally got to Thursday. And of course, we were expecting to hear from the Prime Minister last night, as has been the custom up until now. He didn't appear live on TV, but there was a phone interview that was conducted with him. And it's interesting that he came out saying that, you know, while the markets yesterday and the economy in general was really preparing for a more severe shutdown even than the one that we have at the moment, he came out saying the opposite. He's saying that he's quite reluctant to take things any further at the moment because he thinks that it would ultimately kill the Israeli economy if we went into a total lockdown of the nature, for example, of Italy. And he would prefer to take the current specifications and limitations that he's put in place and just enforce them a little bit more stringently. So instead of making them kind of a recommendation, he wants to make them a rule, a law that people are not able to transgress. So whereas, you know, he said at the moment that people should not be leaving their houses unless there is a particular purpose and a certain number of logical and justifiable reasons for leaving your house have been set out. He wants to, and they've come out saying that obviously that that's not enforceable at the moment. So if people choose to transgress that, then there's really not much that the authorities can or will do. But now he's saying something different. He's saying he would like to enforce that. He would like to make sure that people don't go out unless there is a justified reason. I'm not exactly sure how that would be enforceable. Police going around in the streets asking for a note from your mother to prove that you're going to the pharmacy or going – I'm not sure exactly how they would enforce it. And obviously I'm being a little facetious, but I'm presuming that you know, there must be some – way of doing it. I suppose even just putting people out on the street, checking out on people, asking difficult questions might be enough to convince people not to venture out of homes. I do see still, even though things are very, very, very quiet and obviously not a great deal of movement around in public, you still do see people wandering around. Maybe there's been a bit of bad weather. It's been a bit wet and windy and cooler weather for the last few days. And this is expected to last for the next few days as well. So maybe that is helping people to stay indoors. But once the weather clears up later next week, there is a question as to, you know, how people will react then, especially when the effects of this lockdown are being more acutely felt by people with their cabin fevers as stay indoors. So it's going to be interesting to see how the government responds to that. But obviously a lot of interesting things happening in the meantime. A plane load of Israelis who were due to have come back from Peru, 600 all in all, I understand, has been delayed because apparently Peru has been preventing those Israelis from leaving to catch the plane home. So, you know, Al Ahly put on this free flight. Most of those people are post-army young people who, in theory, shouldn't be too exposed in terms of in the high risk category towards the coronavirus, but nonetheless, they've been brought home. I noticed that the Lubavitcher headquarters in New York has been closed down, and quite a number of people, Israelis who were based there, are due to come back, and they're due to go into isolation when they return home. 770, as it's well known, due to the address that it has, is apparently being closed down. So still a lot of movements around here with, you know, obviously people still wondering how to respond to the new set of circumstances and the new situation. More than 400 Israelis, almost 500 now, people have actually been confirmed to have contracted the coronavirus. Two of those people are in very, very serious condition. Their medical condition deteriorated quite dramatically yesterday, and we were kind of left without too much hope that they may survive this. Nonetheless, as things stand at the moment, still no deaths to report as a result of the coronavirus amongst Israelis. So I think that that's an interesting statistic. And also the fact that, you know, Israel is up there amongst those countries who are testing more than most other countries as a percentage of the overall population. And those tests, due to ramp up in their number, Over the following days and weeks, the Prime Minister has set a target of trying to reach as many as 10,000 tests a day within the next 2 weeks. So an interesting target that he's set, although I'm not quite sure whether that will really be achievable. And of course, the next thing is that as we progress into the weekend, people are having to confront the new reality about the weekend, because this weekend is going to be a little different from previous weekends. First of all, no minions, no ways of praying together with other people, no davening together this weekend. And so people are wondering how they're going to be able to cope with that, particularly over Shabbat. Some people are saying this is the first real Shabbat that Israel has ever had, because obviously transport is closed down, entertainment is closed down, there's nowhere to go, there's nothing to do. People are in effect being forced to observe Shabbat. And of course, a lot of social media writing about how we're going to be observing Shabbat for the very first time. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for a strike or a shutdown of the economy is hashpata. That's what we call when there's a strike held, then we talk about hashpata. And of course, it comes from the root Shabbat, the word that we all know, which is really contributes to the same word. So the same shoresh, the same root used for those words. And this is really a Shabbat of different proportions. And having said that, the chief rabbi has ordered that people should keep their phones on during Shabbat. And the reason for that is...
That was interesting.
Yeah, the reason for that is that if people are being notified that they have come into contact with a corona sufferer and they should go into isolation, then that message will come via their phone. And the chief rabbi is saying you should have your phone on because of that, so that if you are the one who gets the message, then you should know about it, even if it is Shabbat. So that's an interesting one. And, of course, the yeshivot now forced to close down by the health ministry. So I think the religious community really falling into line with everybody else. And, of course, lots of attempts to have communal praying, even if it isn't officially a minyan as such, but people phoning each other and getting 10 people together on the phone or on Zoom, or standing out on your balconies and, you know, davening out loud towards other balconies and other buildings, even if you can't see them. An interesting video clip that went viral showing people answering back leader from all corners of all the balconies of all the flats, the apartments around the area. So people are kind of, you know, using different ways and means to cope with the current situation, but certainly not simple. And in truth, I think there is a general expectation now that there will be an overall more stringent shutdown in spite of what the Prime Minister said. People were expecting it today. It didn't come today, but certainly there is an overall expectation that by the time we get to the middle of next week, maybe even the beginning of next week, there will be a much more stringent shutdown, and that people will really be confined to home, not go out for any reason other than severe emergencies, no work. Of course, schools and study facilities are closed already, have been for some time. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how people manage to cope with that situation.
Yeah. So what's, just remind me, numbers in Israel, did you say?
Well, the latest number that I saw was 433 people who have been diagnosed as infected with the virus. Of those people, two are in very, very serious condition. Another five were considered also to be in serious condition, with less than 20 in moderate condition. And really the remainder are all fairly lightly ill, as you know, that we call it, not particularly seriously ill. And so those are really the numbers, but, you know, I could quite easily see that number doubling in the next week, to be honest, because things are, you know, moving forward so, so quickly that it could quite easily happen. And I think that we're going to see a huge increase in the numbers over the next, let's say, 2 to 3 weeks before we see any type of reduction It's interesting that for the first time, China reported yesterday no new cases of infection. I think a lot of people are looking towards the China and the South Korea kind of graphs to see how long this takes and how much effort it takes and what's required in order to, you know, everybody's talking about flatten the graph. I think that obviously we can only really look towards other places that have been relatively successful in their attempts to try and take some pointers from them and to try and learn some tricks and also to learn about what they did that wasn't good. But certainly this is something now that we see everywhere around the world. I mean, the only place that I don't hear about in terms of coronavirus infections is really Central Africa, the kind of countries of Central Africa. I'm not quite sure if we're not hearing about it because it's being drowned out or because they're still very much behind the curve, but really everywhere else is having to cope with the situation.
Yeah, it is interesting, but unfortunately, I think ultimately, what happens is that these things do spread. On another subject, tell us about an Israeli academic winning a prize.
Well, you know, you kind of think that nothing else is going on around the world, right? Everything's been shut down. I mean, even the Eurovision has been cancelled, right? That, and when you know that if the Eurovision has been cancelled, this is serious. But everything, literally all major events, all activities seem to have been shut down. And yet yesterday we heard some good news that an Israeli mathematics professor from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem has won the very much valued Abel Prize. This is like a prize for mathematics. It's kind of regarded as the Nobel Prize for mathematics. I don't think there is a Nobel Prize for mathematics, but I'm subject to correction. I'm sure the listeners out there will be writing and saying, oh, you're
yes,
wrong.
There is, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know though. I know that there are particular prizes for physics and for chemistry and other things, but I'm not quite sure about a Nobel Prize for mathematics. Having said that, this is a very much a valued prize. It's presented by the King of Norway to the winners. And this year, two people are sharing the Abel Prize for mathematics. One is Professor Hillel Furstenberg. He is a professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and he's sharing that with Gregory Margulis, who is actually a U.S. professor. The two of them have been working to what they call use randomness in order to cast new light on certainties. So when I've read up about the work that these two guys have been doing, then it's really to take things that really seem completely random and have absolutely no connection between them and somehow use mathematical theories in order to show that even though there is absolutely no sign of any link between them, there is somehow an order of some sort that can be attributed to these seemingly random things. I can't pretend to understand any of this stuff, Howard, I have to tell you, but it's an interesting theory nonetheless. And these two mathematicians will be receiving the prize. It's also very interesting to see where they come from, because Professor Furstenberg was born in Berlin, actually, in the 1930s, and his family suffered. They escaped Nazi persecution. He was only 4 years old when they moved to New York City. And then subsequent to that, he moved to Israel back in 1965. He is already retired and has been retired already for some time, and yet obviously still being active. And while his mate Margulis, the other recipient of this prize, was someone who was born in Moscow and was also a victim of anti-Semitism in the Soviet system and was prevented from traveling outside of the country to collect various prizes and medals that he'd won during his time while in Moscow. He moved to the United States. He's still at Yale University. So two men who both Jewish and who both suffered really anti-Semitism as a result of being Jewish, but who've managed somehow to overcome that and to do some amazing work in this particular field. Their prize is quite substantial, actually. They're going to share $830,000 between the two of them.
Wow.
So a nice one. I don't exactly know how the whole award ceremony is going to happen and how relevant this is in our new world, but sometimes it's nice just to kind of focus on something a little different, even though there seems to be so little different going on in the world right now that we can focus on. But this is really good news, and of course very nice for the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and for the two professors involved. So a little bit of credit coming to Israel and to the Hebrew youth from this prize. And of course, we're very proud of that, especially in these current days and current circumstances when we can.
So, Anthony, how does your next few days look?
Well, uncertain, I suppose, is the answer. I mean, I've been fortunate that I've been able to get out a little bit, but I'm probably not going to continue to do that. Not because it's against the rules, but because I think we all have to be personally responsible for ourselves. And, you know, when you go out, you have just no idea what you're getting exposed to, even in the most the best scenario. Nobody really knows. You know, you get into that lift going into work, or you walk past, I don't know, a park bench or something like that, and you've no idea what might still be surviving on these surfaces, because we are told that the virus does can continue to survive on surfaces for some time. So I think we're all going kind of slowly but surely into a hermit state. So it's a little uncertain. I mean, I would have liked to have even got out to do some exercise and things like that, but even that, we're told, is not advisable. So a lot of people are trying to exercise at home and just stay at home. So I will update you on Monday when we have some more. In the meantime, I hope that you guys will all have a good weekend, a safe weekend, adhere to the rules, be sensible, and in that way we'll manage to stay safe.
Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, please do be safe, and your family and everybody around you as well. Shabbat shalom, and please God, we will catch you on a Monday morning.